Hello, everybody. Welcome back to For the Girls. Today, we are bringing you a deep dive on the man of the moment, Lando Norris, who just took his first career victory in Miami after 110 starts. This is a crazy story. So we had an interview scheduled in Miami. It got canceled, and that was going to be today's episode. But the Sunday before the race, we were like, we got to slot something in. So I put in the Lando Norris deep dive for today before he won. And coincidentally, he won. So I guess Lando Norris, you're welcome.
Lando owes you a thank you call, it seems.
No, I'm just kidding. But we are huge McLaren fans. We are so happy that the team and Lando are having their moment. It's been so fun to see all the videos of them celebrating, just very, very heartfelt. So we thought we'd give you a little look into his background, early life, and so on. So with that, I'm Tiggy.
I'm Chessa.
And I'm Sarah. In terms of an overview, Lando does not need much of an introduction. He's a 24-year-old British driver racing for McLaren and is one of the drivers with pretty high name recognition outside of F1. And he, of course, won his first race at the Miami Grand Prix last weekend after 110 starts and 15 podiums. He's been with McLaren his entire F1 career since his F1 debut in 2019. So is now in his sixth season with F1 and McLaren. And his partnership with McLaren is a big part of the story that we'll get into. Earlier this year, he signed a big multi-year extension, which is taking him now several years past 2025 with the team. So well into the new regulation period, almost 10 years with McLaren at that point. As Tiggy said, it was so great getting to see the team celebrate the pictures of everyone in orange at MTC when Lando brought home the trophy and Lando thanking Oscar in one of the videos that was
posted. Yeah. So sweet.
So sweet and so unnecessary. I feel like a lot of teammates would not do that. So first, we're going to get into his early career in F1 and, of course, his infamous 2021 almost victory in Sochi, which now thankfully is behind us.
Quick side note, speaking of MTC, did you guys see the video where he's like walking at MTC and there's like that big lake on the side? And they're like, have you ever swum in it? And he's like, no, of course not. I'll do it when I have my first win. So that's something that everyone's expecting. Yeah.
Maybe when it's a little warmer.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so for his early life and career, Lando is originally from Bristol in the UK. And apparently he wasn't actually super into F1 as a kid growing up. But then, like many, like myself included, although I'm no Lando Norris, he started watching F1 with his dad. And they obviously got more increasingly interested. And he was really into Gran Turismo, the video game. So that was sort of like another entryway point for him. And then the real big kicker that kind of got him fully into F1 was his dad took him and his brother Ollie to watch the British Karting Championship at Clay Pigeon, which is the karting course where Jenson Button first got his start. And I think after that, like, Lando was fully in and wanted to be an F1 driver.
And he took the karting world by storm from a very young age. So to this day, he still holds the record as the youngest ever karter to have a pole position at a national competition.
Wow.
And then from there, he was just on a roll. When he was 13 and 14, he won basically every European and global karting title. And fun fact, when he was 14, he broke Lewis Hamilton's previous record to become the youngest ever karting world champion. So,
oh, wow.
Lando, we can be champions someday. He continued on to win Formula 3 in 2017. He started becoming involved in the McLaren family as a test driver. And then in 2018, he raced in F2 and came in second behind George, also narrowly beat Albon. So a very stacked year for talent in F2. And then 2019, he was promoted to F1 to race at McLaren at only 19 years old. So very young start.
Crazy thinking. We said this so many times, but just how so many people on the grid who are around the same age have been competing since they were 12, 13, 14, had a whole career in the junior series together.
And yeah, grew up together.
They're all like good friends. It's crazy. Or enemies. One of
frenemies?
The two.
Frenemies?
Yeah, frenemies.
Definitely frenemies. For his F1 debut, he debuted in the 2019 season, again, at only 19 years old. Famously, Lando's first ever teammate was none other than Carlos Sainz, kind of the other man of the moment right now. Carlos had been F1 since 2015, so Lando definitely slotted in as the younger, more junior driver. And Sainz beat Lando in the standings that year by about 50 points, so it was definitely a year of adjusting into F1 for Lando. But notably, in the head-to-head qualifying matchup, Lando outqualified Sainz over the course of the season. So already, Lando was always regarded as a generational talent, but already had a strong start in 2019 and just really kicked into gear from there.
So for 2020, this is considered what we know as like his breakout year. So Sainz beat him again in the Drivers' Championship, but this time by only a few points. And Lando got his maiden podium in Austria and also got fastest lap at only 20 years old. Like, we know that 24 is young and we consider him a very young driver now, but he literally started when he was 19 and got fastest lap and maiden podium at 20. It's wild. This was also a pretty famous era for the teammates. So Lando and Carlos had a reputation as being one of the closest and most harmonious driver pairings on the grid, often referred to as Carlando. You should go back and look at videos of them as teammates. They're just like all over TikTok. They're so funny. They're so cute. I think there was one where they were like mimicking each other's accents or like trying food together. There's so many, but they're really, really funny. And even today, they're still really good friends. They go and golf together.
See, folks, it can be done. Teammates don't have to hate each other. They can still be friends.
Follow up slash conundrum on that. If you're too friendly with your teammate, do you think you lose all sense of competition?
No.
I agree with that. Strong no. I feel like it's always good friends with the caveat that they would love to beat each other every single day. I think there's just a huge variation in how well the personalities kind of mesh and how well they can work together outside of that. Even as really good friends, I think both of them would say, if asked, oh yeah, I would give anything to beat him.
100%. And I think it's the mutual acknowledgement of that that makes people friends. You know, they respect that the other person also wants to win at all costs, at any cost. So yeah, I think
it requires a high level of maturity, I think, to be able to acknowledge that.
Yes.
We'll also get into this with Danny, but Lando said once, it was interesting how he basically said him and Carlos had a lot of similar interests off track, like golf, gaming, sim racing, just similar ways that they enjoyed to spend their time, and maybe a bit more of a similar age range. Even though Carlos is older, Danny is more significantly older. And Lando basically said it kind of made it harder to relate to Danny. They just had less in common to start with. And then I think when you don't have that mutual stuff in common to begin with, I think that just makes everything much harder.
Yeah, definitely. For sure.
And it's hard at 19, 20, 21 years old. Like, it's hard to have that maturity and that confidence to get along with your teammate on that level. But I think that's a good segue, Sarah, into the 2021 season. So this season definitely had some defining moments, including Sochi, which we'll talk about, but notably less harmonious driver pairing with Danny Ricciardo joining Lando at McLaren. And as we all know, Danny really struggled at McLaren, never really found his footing with the car or with the team. And the expectation was definitely that Danny, who was very tenured, multiple Grand Prix winner, coming from Red Bull and Renault, would outperform Lando, who at that point was 21. But the opposite was true, and Lando beat Danny by almost 50 points in the championship. So definitely another kind of breakout year for Lando in terms of you can stack him up against someone who is supposed to be beating him, and he didn't. So the unfortunate thing was what Lando didn't have was a win. Danny famously had a resurgence in form to win at Monza, where Lando came in P2. But this is where Sochi comes in. So someone talk us through that.
So Sochi, Lando had a pole and had an absolutely amazing race. He was leading. He was only a few laps away from winning when it started raining. And at first it was just drizzling. Lando was still holding on okay. But then everyone basically started pitting for inters, expecting more rain. But Lando and the team kept him out on slicks. It was really Lando insisting that he stay out. He was very adamant on it. You can hear it on the radio. He's like, no, I'm not pitting. But then it started absolutely pouring, and Lando just could not keep the car on track. He ended up finishing P7 while Lewis went on to get his 100th win in F1. And this has just really stuck with Lando and the team. Just last week after Miami, Lando's race engineer told Sky Sports that this was, quote, haunting, but that now they could finally put it behind them.
That's so interesting. And wow, that is one of the most like nail on the head instances of strategy literally being the not even like make or break, but like P1 to P7. That's so huge. And it's also funny, like you could see at the end of, because obviously at Sochi he was leading multiple laps of the race. And like, I think when you're leading on what could be your first win, you get in your head and you're like, oh my God, I'm winning. I could win. Like, what could this be? And then you have to wait it out. You could see in Miami as the gap was opening and getting longer to Max, he was driving so safe, like so far from the walls, like not even trying to like, I mean, obviously he had to maintain his lead, but really trying to play it safe. So I think that's probably like a huge mental moment and an unlock for him to be able to do that.
And even then, it was amazing seeing his level of maturity still being so young, just having this absolutely devastating loss. And he said to media at the time, he basically admitted this. He was like, it was me and the team that kept me out. But he said, really, it was me. I wanted to stay out. Almost Charles Leclerc-esque, kind of blaming yourself. But so mature at that age after a just devastating loss. He said at the time that it was devastating to be able to take some responsibility. I think a lot of drivers would have just said, the team should have.
For sure.
Needed me. I can't believe the team did this. And him taking ownership of that, I think, was huge. And even with that difficulty, as Tiggy was saying, 2021 was such a breakout year. It's such a fascinating phenomenon in F1, but really to cement yourself as a future world champion, material future Max level caliber driver, you have to beat your Grand Prix winning veteran teammate when you're matched up with them. And Lando did that so resoundingly.
And and Lando's never been in a situation that a lot of young rookies find themselves in where they can't do that. And then they're kind of like scrambling for a seat and their future's super unknown. Lando did make it to the 2022 season, so and beyond. So for 2022, McLaren really struggled at the start of the new regulations. Remember, this was the year of the new regulations, and they kind of like struggled into the start of 2023. Despite that, though, Lando was able to get a podium, and he was the only driver not from Red Bull, Ferrari, or Mercedes to get a podium. And generally, you can say for the season, he outperformed the car, like really did make the most of it.
He also really outperformed Danny. So Lando had 122 points and Danny only had 37. So the teammate relationship was definitely more tense, very different, like we were saying, from the car-Lando relationship. And then famously, this led to McLaren dropping Danny despite his contract not being up. So McLaren did need to pay Danny a lot of money to not drive for them, but they made that shock announcement in August that Oscar would be joining the team. We know how that has turned out and how great Oscar has been, and it's been fun to watch Oscar and Lando as teammates. So the 2023 season, the first half, the team definitely still struggled with the car. But as we all know and love, the team had a huge breakthrough with upgrades in the second half of the season. Lando got 7 podiums, including 4 consecutive podiums in the fall. And both teammates just seemed to get along really well. I think we were expecting some potential fireworks with Oscar also being so good, considered a generational talent. But he slotted in really well to Lando, and then Lando being the more senior driver, they just seemed to have a good relationship. Yeah. And Lando did finish 100 points ahead of Oscar, but I'm curious, we haven't really seen any of those fireworks, but what do you guys expect for the teammate relationship going forward, especially if McLaren continues to deliver a potentially race-winning or championship-winning car?
I love Lando and Oscar, although it is extremely different from Carlando vibes. I think Oscar is like this young soul who, like a young man in an old soul's body kind of thing. Like Oscar does, and maybe it's because Oscar's very young and still kind of getting his footing in F1. I mean, he's not a rookie anymore, but he's still considered, you know, one of the youngest, newest drivers on the grid. So maybe we'll see more of like a goofy side of Oscar's personality come out, or something that would be more like in challenging with Lando right now. But I think based on how things are going, if this is truly their personalities and their personalities together, I could see it going really well up until, I think Oscar's still going to have a moment where he gets really, really hungry and you like see this spark come out of him.
I just feel like he's so mature and so level-headed. Like you can never say never, but I don't really see Oscar losing it or having a moment where he's at least making it public to the audience.
Flip it on its head. If Oscar starts beating Lando, how do you think Lando would react?
I mean, we've seen Oscar outperform Lando, and I think Lando's been frustrated with himself, but I don't feel like we've seen Lando take it out on Oscar or on the team. I think we've seen him be frustrated. Like, they definitely portrayed him as being frustrated in Drive to Survive last season, but it didn't feel like it got to the point of teammate unhappiness, you know?
Yeah, I think they both are so professional and mature that carries it a really long way. Like Tiggy was saying, Lando not getting overly frustrated when Oscar was beating him at times. And then on the flip side, Oscar, I think, being so mature and really slotting in well into this extremely talented, but still knowing that he has a lot to learn. I do think now that Lando's going to be with the team for at least several years past 2025, if Oscar stays in the next few years, I would expect, say maybe 2 years down the road, Oscar is much more seasoned, kind of cemented as a very established, hopefully race winner. And if they're both fighting for a championship, for P2 or P3 in a championship, or consistently fighting for wins, I do think we could see some fireworks come into play. Because I think even with maximum professionalism and both drivers being really mature, it's kind of hard to avoid in those situations. Yeah. But in the near term, it seems great.
I almost feel like Oscar would potentially leave the team before it got to that point. Like if he's such a generational young talent, and Lando is an example of a Lewis type driver who has gone to a team, stuck with them, built it up over potentially a decade. If Lando is the McLaren driver, I could see Oscar wanting to learn from that for, you know, however many years he does, and then go to a top team with an open seat because he is that level of driver, and then, you know, potentially just build from there. But I don't know if Oscar is going to be the same decades long McLaren driver that Lando is.
So true. When you think of Max and Red Bull, Charles and Ferrari, Lewis and Mercedes, I guess formerly, they're all synonymous. Like that driver is just a core part of the team's package. It's been known for years that driver is the team's guy, and Lando and McLaren definitely have that.
Yeah, I think like every top team picks their number one driver to have that, because it's not only good for the driver and winning, but it's great for the brand. But I don't know, I think Oscar's incredible. His Australian energy is really great, and I think it does kind of jive with McLaren. But I think I agree with you. I think I could see Lando being at McLaren for a really long time and Oscar continuing to break out elsewhere. But I think for now we have what we can consider the world of Formula One, a magical, perfect driver pairing. I hope I didn't just jinx that.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that is with Babbel. If I had one wish, it would be to speak every language, but sadly, I've given up hope on that and have turned my full focus to learning French. Ever since my family lived in Paris, I've been on a French learning journey, taking weekly classes, doing tutoring twice a week, listening to French podcasts daily. But the only consistent way I've been able to feel immersed and feel like I'm actually improving each day is with Babbel. It is so easy to integrate into my daily routine, learn how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent, which has been a godsend for me in French. It's developed by over 200 expert linguists, and one study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. To join millions of Babbel language learners across all age groups, here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/FTG. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FTG, spelled BABBEL.com/FTG. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Women's health is so important, and balanced hormones are key to that. We've been loving Hormone Harmony, an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution for women of all ages from Happy Mammoth. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, which are science-backed herbal extracts that help your body adapt to stressors like hormonal changes and all the things that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Happy Mammoth as a company is so incredible. It's committed to making women's lives easier, and they actually have a whole range of products to help that. Another one that we've been loving is Estro Control, which you take to help support and balance you throughout your entire cycle, and it really helps ease all of those PMS symptoms. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off of your order at happymammoth.com with code F1RTheGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use code F1RTheGirls for 15% off today.
It was also so amazing for us to see the growth and to see the trajectory, because we were there in Austria when they had brought those upgrades, and that was really when the table started turning for them. And to see McLaren go from a team that was kind of struggling a little bit more in the midfield and even farther behind to a team mm-hmm. and two drivers who were competing potentially for podiums and race wins. And even though Red Bull has been so dominant, it was amazing that we were kind of there to see that switch.
And we got to go into the garage and we could see the upgrades were only on Lando's car at that point, had a completely different floor, not on Oscar's car yet. And it's crazy looking back, thinking that was such a big moment for the team.
Amazing moment for the three of us, because we've talked so much about these cars, and to be so up close and personal and just with the naked eye to obviously see differences between the two cars was beyond cool. And obviously they made a huge difference. Okay, so for 2024, I mean, we are only at the beginning of the season. Lando has clearly had an extremely strong start with, of course, his maiden win in Miami. He's currently fourth in the standings, and him and Carlos are the only non-Red Bull drivers to have won races in the past two seasons. So Carlando is returning, albeit in a different form.
And one thing about Carlos and Lando, so we always call Carlos the smooth operator, but actually when you look at Lando's driving style, he's described often as a very smooth driver. Some people say, like, for example, he describes that he likes to take corners as more of a U shape instead of the hard V shape. So it's more flowy, it's smoother, but that's not always possible with the car. For example, last year that wasn't really compatible with the way the McLaren was set up. But yeah, we think about Carlos as the smooth operator, but Lando also kind of following in his footsteps.
In terms of some personal life and fun facts, Lando loves to golf. It seems like he's actually one of the best golfers in the grid. And it seems like it's a great opportunity for him and Zach Brown to also get to spend time together because they are both big golfers. He is really good friends with Max Verstappen, who is also really into sim racing. So the two of them have that in common. And Lando somehow finds the time to also be an entrepreneur. So he has his company Quadrant, which is an extremely interesting and cool company. They have apparel, a big gaming and esports platform, and now they even have athletes across skateboarding, motocross, some other racing disciplines. And if that's not enough, Lando also has his own cart called the Ellen Racing Cart that now little kids karting compete in. They're in the Lando Norris cart.
That is so cute. Maybe Quadrant's going to be a competitive Red Bull one day. Who knows?
I like their merch a lot. It's cool. And it's not overly Lando Norris. I think some drivers who start their own apparel brands and whatnot, like, it's very that driver coded, and it's very like branded or whatever. Like, it's kind of cool that this brand is a little bit more understated, but doing so much. And one thing about Lando and his personality. So we in Austin last year were lucky enough to witness him doing an event with a nonprofit called Girl Start, which Smartsheet helped put on with McLaren as part of their Sponsor X initiative. And just seeing Lando with these younger girls was the cutest thing I think we have ever seen. He was so good with them. He was so sweet. He was racing the little robot cars on the tracks and just very genuinely kind, it seemed. So we love that for Lando.
So what is next for Lando Norris? So for his relationship with McLaren, I think this is a really great example of a team and a driver really believing in each other, kind of what Sarah was saying earlier. And Zach Brown, who's the CEO of McLaren, has definitely taken Lando under his wing from day one and really viewed him as his future star, which I think is really important in any team that is looking to be championship winning needs to have that like energy and hope behind whoever they choose as their number one driver. So that's really important. And even when McLaren was struggling, it seems like Lando really did never lose faith in the team. And then, you know, at the start of this year in 2024, when things, you know, were not necessarily super clear as to how the car was going to be this season, him signing that multi-year contract beyond 2025, I think was really, really important. So by the time that's up, Lando will have been at McLaren for almost 10 years and the entirety of his entire F1 career.
Yeah, it does seem like clearly the hard work between both the team and Lando has really paid off. We're so excited to see what the future holds. Do you all think Lando could win a World Drivers Championship? And if so, do you think that will be with McLaren?
I think it'll definitely be with McLaren if it happens. I think, like Chessa was saying, it's amazing getting to see a driver and a team have so much faith in each other and in the project, the long-term project that they're building together. And I think we can already see that paying off. And now that he's a race winner, I think in the next few years, hopefully, I think if McLaren is putting together a constructors champion caliber car, I think Lando will be right up there.
To me, it feels so dependent on these 2026 regulations and which team gets that right, because there's only one more year in 2025, and I think it's hard to catch Red Bull. Still could be done. Red Bull won't have Adrian Newey, but it's, you know, the car has been built. The regulations are still the same. Nothing has really changed that much.
And with Ferrari kind of figuring it out now too.
Yeah. So yeah. McLaren definitely has some competition over the next year, year and a half. But I think when 2026 comes into play, I could definitely see McLaren doing a really good job with those regulations, but it's definitely much more of an unknown. And if they don't get it right kind of off the bat, it takes a lot longer, I think, for the car to catch up to the caliber of the driver, even if the team and the driver is amazing. So I think McLaren could do it, but it really is highly dependent on how well they figure out these 2026 regs.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the sticky situation that is the crux of F1, all these conversations that we have all the time, because you could be the best driver, and if your car is not it, it's not it. Like, it won't happen for you. So I think it's only a matter of time before Lando gets a World Drivers' Championship, but that is highly contingent upon him being at the right team with the right car at the right time. And I do think that that's going to be McLaren, or at least they have every intention of that being, right? Like, every team has that intention. But I do think in 2026 and beyond, if they get it right, then McLaren and Lando will be a knockout combination. And it'll be really amazing. But I really – my one thing is – I hope that this doesn't become like, I don't like, I know Danny didn't get frustrated with McLaren and leave, but they kind of kicked him out. But like, remember Danny at Red Bull? Like, what if Danny had stuck it out at Red Bull and not been frustrated and jumped ship for what could be bigger and brighter pastures, you know? So I really do hope that Lando sees all those kind of like things that have happened historically and remembers that like patience is sometimes a virtue as well. And sticking with the team when you think that they could have it, even if it is a few years down the road, will be really important. But I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, he's definitely exhibited that patience so far. So hopefully it will continue. All right. Well, with that, thank you for tuning in to the Lando Deep Dive. Much more to come and a couple of races coming up, double headers. So talk soon.